Today we're going to talk about what selling vacuums specifically, has to do with e-learning. Hey everybody, Anissa Bremwitz here, and I'm going to talk to you about interactive episode design today. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about is just interacting with subject matter experts. And what's interesting is, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I'm reflecting on it because it's something that's definitely happened to me, and I wanted to figure out why it happens, and I did. I dug in a little bit, and it was really about the resistance from subject matter experts. And it was funny, and you're thinking, Anna, you said vacuum sales. Well, when I was in university, I did get a job selling vacuums. If you want to know which one it was Kirby. And we had a couple of competing teams that went around. They basically recruited at universities because we all needed the money, right? To pay for food. So one of the things that that you do when you sell a machine or anything really to anybody is, especially when somebody who is the decision maker, you always want to talk to the decision maker. And it's not that the person who is not the decision maker, who's not going to make the final, pull out the final checkbook, that they're going to be there. That's not it. The reason you want to do that is because if the decision maker is not there, and only, like, let's say the person who's not going to be pulling out the checkbook is going to be there, and unfortunately, in a lot of the cases, that was the wife. She was home when I was, and also the wives are the ones who are interested in the cleanliness of the home. And that's simply just a prevalent thing. Not that guys aren't, but most times it's the woman, that they weren't the decision maker. And so this is what you're doing. You're actually selling your product, convincing to somebody, and then they have to go and sell that product and that solution to somebody else on your behalf. And guess what? They're gonna suck. They're gonna suck. There's not once. And I went to dozens and dozens and dozens of homes and actually sold 30 of these giant machines that have lifetime warranty, by the way. And not once was a person who was not able to purchase it, had to talk to somebody else to get permission or to discuss the purchase, to actually that they would actually come back and actually make that purchase. It not once happened. Not once. And in the moment, you're like, oh yeah, of course you need to talk it over with somebody else. Of course. And you're going to tell them all about this thing and how it's amazing. But they're not going to do it. They're going to be like, honey, I want a vacuum and it costs a lot of money. But it's really, really good. Right? So, hold on a second, with a giant truck passing. And, woo! By the way, as I'm walking here, one of the things that happened yesterday is I saw a giant bear. And it's not a giant bear, it's like a grizzly or something. But, it's pretty big. And so now I'm a little bit anxious about going into my regular woods walk. So I'm on the highway, so I can quickly switch sides. Yes, that's where I live, Sook. Look it up, it's a bear country. All right, so imagine this. You're talking to, say, a project sponsor, and they're sold on e-learning. They're sold on interactive episodes. They're sold on scenarios. They're sold on interactivity. They're sold on engagement. They're sold on online. They are sold, baby. They are a believer. They are drinking the Kool-Aid. Here's the challenge. They bring on people, and those people ain't sold. Those people are just told. They're told what to do. And so what you end up doing is you end up working with people that got secondhand kind of selling from somebody else who really was sold. And I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes you have a champion, but they're not the salesperson, right? You sold them. They've done their own research. They're like the person who loves all these sees the opportunity, sees all these things, and then you work with somebody like who's been assigned to work with you as the expert, and they are not sold. And how do you deal with that, right? How do you overcome that? I actually had this situation where we're working through some storyboards, and we had several experts who, the experts were domain experts. So the storyboard had several different domains kind of mentioned, and we had basically each chunk of the storyboard kind of verified by the expert if the process and protocols were the accurate ones we were describing in the scenarios and things like that. And one of the experts actually thought that the approach was they just didn't agree with it. They didn't agree with putting things online. They're one of those people. And they didn't want to participate. They basically, like, they thought it was a bogus process. And for us to come up with scenarios to try and simulate things in the real world was not a good way of teaching. So, how do you deal with that? Well, you can try and be diplomatic when somebody else is not being diplomatic, right? You can try and be like, well, you know, you could let me try and sell you. And the worst thing is that sometimes it's left to you. Like, you actually have to, you know, work with somebody on that project. And the other bad thing that happens, and I'm not trying to make this a unpleasant experience, although it can be, is that sometimes, and I've had this happen, the project sponsor, I'm like, this person's not on board. They'll try and convince that person to be on board. And then that person resentfully gets on board. Sometimes it works. They actually do get on board because, you know, you try and be helpful, understanding, charming, all those things, persuasive, accommodating, flattering, everything, right? And you ask for somebody else. You ask for a backup. This is one of the dangers that companies face when they don't capture people's expertise, and they leave themselves tied to the hands of these domain experts. And when the domain experts leave, they're screwed because they didn't take the time to capture it. And then the domain experts, and I have heard this, they come back as consultants and they work for, like, you know, $600 an hour. They're like, yeah, now I'm expert, but while I was here, you didn't do anything with my expertise. And now that I'm leaving, you have to basically pay me $600 an hour to come in and consult on this special thing that you really helped me develop. The reason I'm an expert in this is because you paid me to develop my expertise. Silly, silly, silly. But that's what happens. And then those people, and I get it, they feel like their smarts are their smarts, and you are stealing their commodity somehow. Even though they'd actually probably get more work and exposure because they were contributing to these projects. And I'm sorry, being seen as a team player is so huge. And when you're not, I feel like that's a strike against you. I don't care how smart you are. So it's old school. It's old school thinking to me. And we still have to deal with it. I get it. That's fine. That's why nobody's heard of Metallica in a while, right? Because they wouldn't share their stuff on YouTube. Or was it Prince? Somebody wouldn't. Anyways, doesn't matter. That's another rant, everybody. News update, haven't seen a bear yet, so it's a good day. God, I better not jinx myself. Just watch, I'm being a chihuahua face off with a bear. By the way, bears here are just, the only kind of bear you want to be, you'd be afraid of is the one with cubs. Because you know mama bears, right? Dangerous. Dangerous. And another thing I have to tell you, whether you want to know this or not, frost today, first frost on the rooftops and also in the air. And I just wore like this light sweater and I feel I'm cold. I'm really cold. But I gotta get those steps in. So that's why I'm doing this. So you either have to deal with a really reluctant participant on your team, which is so frustrating because like it takes so much momentum and effort to get these things off the ground. The last thing you need is one more resistance, especially from the inside. So there's moments where you got to make an executive decision, and so does your project sponsor. Can we go on without this person? Can we replace them or can we cut them? Because those people, their negativity or their reluctance, it will seep into the other places. It will affect your progress. It will affect the team's enthusiasm. They'll basically hold up your project. And it's just not cool, right? So you got to nip that in the bud like ASAP. Like the minute you feel somebody's not on board with you, you better start talking to people. If you have a conversation with an expert who's supposed to be providing feedback on the project and they're not working with you in the right way, and you've done everything that you can, obviously, to bring them on board, you cut that right away. The longer you wait, the more painful it'll be, because then they'll feel they have power, and that's in a collaborative project. You're gonna have those dynamics anyways. You don't need somebody who's not on board to be giving you that. So, the other thing is just always ask for backup. If your project is, because you don't want to be held hostage to this stuff. That's why when I talk to people about designing scenarios and pitching scenarios, a lot of them will say things like, this is so terrible. The subject matter expert is my stakeholder. And I'm like, whoa, no. No, they're not. They're not your stakeholder. The business is the stakeholder. And who's paying the bills? It's the business. It's not the stakeholder. When a stakeholder goes off on their own and they want to build their own thing and they're hired you, sure, they're a stakeholder, but right now they're not. They're there to help the business succeed, because without the business, they have no job. So you have to be cognizant of that. Sometimes people need to be reminded of that, although it doesn't make for a very pleasant relationship afterwards, right? But that's the truth. And the truth has to be said sometimes, unfortunately. Actually, most times it's, why not just be straight shooter? So, are these people going to disappear? No. What do you do when you're there? Now, a lot of us complain, lie down, say it's their fault, and that's okay for like a minute. And then you got to be like, listen, I own this project. Nothing's going to get in the way. Like, you know, Gandhi, he had the whole British government, right? Several hundreds of people against him. If not more, probably thousands. I shouldn't be talking about this because I know so much very surface level stuff about Gandhi. More about his meditations than his actually political activism or pacifism. But do you think he faced resistance? Yes. We have one crusty apple. We can do this. So one of the things I suggest is and from the very beginning, you got to get everybody on board to the vision. So that's why I don't suggest you do meetings where you make it seem like there's in infinite amounts of input. You have to come in with a plan and that you're working towards filling out the plan. That's why I talk about frameworks so much. If you don't come in with a framework, you're making people feel like they have the ability to continually influence and modify the project, and you'll never get it done, and it will be a pain in the butt. I have been there. It is horrendous. And it goes over scope, budget, everything, and nobody wants to work on it anymore because it is so painful. So don't do that. Come in with a plan, come in with a framework. Sell everybody on it. Those who won't be sold, maybe they should move on to different projects. You need to find champions, and you need to find those champions that will support you. And if anything, there are some people in organizations that will not only support you, but fight for you, negotiate on your behalf. Find those people. You won't have them on every project, but when you do, you better like leverage that and be like, oh, this was, so, you know, those are the people you give your best work to, because you can use that as your, in effect, like your project that you show off to everybody else, saying, what are the elements here? And it's funny because we'll look at projects and be like, how come this project was so good? And in most cases, it's because the team was so good. So I had a, like, why was Broken Coworker so awesome? Why was my Adidas Interactive episode so awesome? Because my subject matter experts, my sponsor, my reviewers, everybody was on the ball and behind the project, and they all helped make that awesome. So when I show people successful projects, I'll also say, this is because everybody really worked hard on this together. And that's what I'll show to clients. And if I face resistance, I usually don't end up with a project I'm super proud of, because I know I basically used like stupid brute force through the whole thing to make it launch and happen. And that's so frustrating, because it drains you so much. It just makes you not want to participate in the same way. It just doesn't. That's the truth. Truth bombs, just dropping them today. All right. So I want to leave you with something positive, though, because I just do. I like movies that end well, okay? But not always. Sometimes I like a dark one. But let's say for this podcast, let's just finish it off on a positive note. And one of the things I wanted to leave you with is that the bad apples aren't as frequent as we believe. I think sometimes we just, as naturally as it happens, our mind dwells on the negative, right? So think of the projects, think of the people that have really come through for you. And you know what? Let them know that. Because I don't think we do that enough. Like, we just take for granted how easy and fabulous it is to work with some people and have amazing colleagues. Like, a lot of us do, but we just say, oh yeah, look, we just complain about the bad apples, but we don't say to the good apples, hey, you know what? You're awesome. Every time there's a project and I get to work on it with you, it's the best. This is awesome. So do that. And then people will probably want to work with you more, because you're the kind of person who says, hey, you're amazing, and I enjoy that. All right. Have a wonderful rest of the day. If you have any comments, questions, guess what? You can send them to me, or connect with me on LinkedIn. All right, talk to you next time, and ciao.